many places that allow that, and here is one of those places, and we thank you for this privilege, and ask that you just encourage our hearts this evening, and allow us to receive what you have prepared for us, and Lord, just continue to bless us, and thank you again for everything that you've been doing in our lives, Lord, and for this meeting, and thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. So we're going to be talking about prayer and how amazing it is that we are able to come boldly to the throne of grace in our times of need, and how we know that his sheep hear his voice, and most importantly, that Jesus does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. To look at how powerful prayer can be, we're going to look at these two different prayers. And as the Lord was giving me this this message, he had me first go to this prayer in the Old Testament from a random guy that only pops up in the Bible a couple times, and his name is Jabez. But he has a couple verses, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and that's where we'll start. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. That's pretty amazing right there, that God just granted him that he requested. So it is kind of funny in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, what's going on here is there's this genealogy of Judah that's being said, and then it's like, we interrupt this message to bring you this prayer from Jabez and to tell you, you know, how powerful that what happens when you call on the name of the Lord, that even though you might be sorrow, I mean, literally this guy's name meant sorrow, that even though it's sorrow, that God can do a 180 with that and bless him and bless you. And that's exactly what happened here. So as I was studying this, the Lord continued to encourage my heart. And this is a nice prayer. And obviously there's some really great teachings in this prayer of Jabez. But one thing that the Lord encouraged me to think about was the context of Jabez's prayer. And the context of the prayer is that when Jabez is petitioning to the Lord, he is living under the law of man, not the law of grace yet, because he's still in the Old Testament, right? And so Jesus hasn't arrived on the scene yet, and he wouldn't arrive on the scene for another 300 to 400 years after 1 Chronicles was written. And so what could Jabez really expect here except to receive blessings consistent with God's covenant promises to Israel? And so thinking about that a little bit more, the Lord brought me to another prayer in the Bible, and we're going to look at these two kind of side by side for the rest of the evening. And this other prayer is in the New Testament, and it is from Paul. And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And so Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. "Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And wow, I mean, you read that and, you know, not to diminish the prayer from Jabez, but you read this prayer in the New Testament from Paul and you look at it compared to Jabez. I mean, there's something else going on here with Paul. And the reason why, though, is because Paul is praying to the God of Jesus Christ, right? He's under the law of grace at this time, and he's had the mystery revealed to him. And 300-400 years in the past, Jabez didn't have that. Didn't have that privilege and opportunity like we have today. And so that's what that's like the first one of the first main differences here. So looking at these two prayers from Jabez and Paul, the next thing I just want to kind of point out is the common theme here is that Jabez, or one of the common themes, is that Jabez, his name means sorrow, and Paul's name means small or humble. And to look at these look at the name meanings, but then also look at when Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians. Now, Paul is incarcerated in a jail in Rome, which is a pretty sorrowful place, I would imagine. But like Paul, the Lord blesses the sorrowful, because it's not your name or the circumstances that define you, but it's Christ in you. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it's through Jesus' grace and love that he's able to take someone who is literally named sorrow, or literally in a prison, and do incredible things and turn their lives in a complete 180. And, you know, Paul before this was doing some of the most sorrowful things you could imagine, persecuting and murdering Christians. And look what the Lord did with that life. It's amazing what happens when you call on the name of the Lord. And so really the first highlight here is that really there's nothing that God can't do. Whether you're named sorrow, whether your life is sorrowful, there's blessings beyond measure that he gives you. And so then the next thing is looking at the two prayers kind of side by side. And so the first thing that Jabez says in his prayer back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And so if you really think about that, Jabez is hoping the Lord will bless him, that thou would bless me. Now, if you look at Paul in Ephesians 3, Paul says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then also, just briefly, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the way Paul starts his letter off to the Ephesians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so the first difference here is that Jabez is hoping that the Lord is going to bless him. But Paul has this confidence and this knowledge that we are already blessed with the spiritual blessings. And he makes this so clear, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 1, but then again in this in Ephesians chapter 3, the way he starts the prayer off is that He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the only time that Paul ever mentions bowing and getting down on his knees to pray, and it highlights the magnitude of what he's doing. And what he's doing right here is he's coming boldly to the throne of grace. And there's no hesitation, and there's no doubt about whether the blessings that God has prepared for Paul are right there for the taking at the throne of grace. And we see that again in other places that Paul has written in the Word of God. In Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you don't have to turn there, but that's the verse about coming boldly to the throne of grace. And looking at this, at what he's saying here, he's not wavering, he's not hoping, he just knows. And that even though he's facing great tribulation, he's in jail, he says that it's these tribulations that end up being your glory. And it's for that cause that he is bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so now looking at the next part of the prayers. So Jabez says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And then he says, "And enlarge my coast." And so this is the literal translation of "enlarge my coast" is to give me more land. That's really what Jabez is asking God to do here. But some people have written about Jabez's prayer in this portion, and they've kind of characterized it as, well, you're really asking God for you to make an impact on the world, living large for God. The Jabez appointments, the Jabez opportunities, Operation Jabez is how some of these people wrote about it. And that's all nice in theory, but let's contrast that with what Paul asks God for. And what Paul says is, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the first thing he asked for, and then we'll get to the other two verses. But just looking at that, it's not about enlarging your coast. It's about getting land or getting any sort of like material possessions or making an impact on the world, per se. What Paul is asking is that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, so that you would know God, and that, you know, in the next couple of verses, that you would be filled with the fullness of God and full of the love of Christ. And Paul knows what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, and he's reminding the Ephesians here about those riches and glory. And really thinking about what Paul is saying here, it's through this fullness and knowledge of the Lord and being just so madly in love with Jesus Christ is where those works that pour out of us, where he works within us to enlarge our coasts, right? Again, it's yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the other places that Paul has talked about what Jesus has prepared for us who love him and yearn to be his bride. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, but that's the verse that says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And Paul continued to preach this throughout all of his letters, and there was never a doubt about any of the blessings and about any of the power and love that the Lord had prepared for those who are in love with Jesus. Okay, so now let's go to the next one here, the next part of Jabez's prayer. Okay, so Jabez, then asks God, and that thine hand might be with me. And so again, it's kind of like that same, at the very beginning of the prayer, Jabez said that thou wouldest bless me. You know, I hope that you bless me, Lord. I hope that your hand might be with me, Lord. And, it, you know, it's understandable at this point in time, you know, Jabez not having the access to Paul's gospel, you know, to be praying like that, right? But then you look at Paul, and the way that Paul says this is in Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. But so the first difference here that we see is that we have Jabez who's saying, God, I hope that your hand might be with me. And we have Paul, though, that says, not hoping that Christ will be with me, but he knows that Christ is with him. And not just that, but that Christ is dwelling inside his heart. And I mean, how incredible to think about that. And it's not, there's no doubt. Again, there's no, you know, I hope that Christ is dwelling in my heart. It's that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. So if you're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, Christ is dwelling in your heart. And that's, it's as simple as that. And in some of the other places that Paul has written about in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, for he hath said, for God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, right? And so the result of Christ dwelling in our hearts and the result of being rooted and grounded in Christ's love is that we would then be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's, I mean, it's just so incredible to think about that. And again, there's no doubt. It just is. That's the way it is. Paul has an unwavering confidence, and you know, by faith and by grace, we have the exact same confidence as Paul. Okay, so now going to the next part here, and this is probably the most interesting part, I think, of the contrasting between the two prayers here. So Jabez concludes his prayer with, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And so really what he's asking is, God, keep me from evil, keep me from sin, so I'm not ashamed, right? And naturally so. That's what, you know, you would be asking back then, right? Because the law of grace wasn't there yet. And so Paul, though, on the other side, he ends up concluding his prayer, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we look at that, but we also look at those words and then look at those in the context of what Paul wrote in Romans 6:14. And in Romans 6:14, Paul says, again, no doubt, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, period. And it's so amazing to see that. There's nothing in this prayer from Paul in Ephesians 3 where he's saying, you know, Lord, keep me from the sorrows, keep me from the sin, keep me from the evil things. And in fact, at the very beginning of the prayer in verse 13, he starts it off with the tribulations. he says, hey, these are the tribulations, saints. And, you know, in a way, what he's saying is, you know, I hope you have a lot of them because they're your glory, right? So he's welcoming these tribulations. And Paul, I mean, this is a theme throughout all of Paul's letters, right? He never shies away from the evil and rather embraces it and faces it head on, knowing that for us, that the love of Christ working in us, we have to have these tribulations. We have to face this evil. And that's what makes us overcomers in Christ. Paul, you know, Paul has talked about, you know, not obviously not fainting with the tribulations, but instead getting that full armor on, right? Putting that full armor on so that you can withstand the wiles of the devil. And then Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Not that he might keep you from evil, he will keep you from evil. And the theme of Ephesians 3, this prayer from Paul, is that it's this power of grace that's working within us. And according to that grace that works within us, Jesus does and will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, meaning that he's going to be able to give us the power and the strength to overcome anything that is set in our ways. Whether, something with your job, something with your family, anything that the Lord puts in front of you, whether he, decides to name you sorrow, it's nothing. It's nothing for the Lord. And it's those times where he gets to work exceeding abundantly in us that allows us to continue to become overcomers and have our faith strengthened and to continue running for his best to win him as bridegroom. And if you look at some of the other words that Paul wrote, some classics, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then a couple verses before that, he says, I'm going to be content no matter what state I'm in. And so Paul's praying to the Lord here, and he's welcoming all the bad stuff because he knows that the Lord's going to use it for his good, right? So looking at both of these prayers, the Jabez prayer and Paul's prayer, it's not to diminish Jabez's prayer. Like, we understand the context of, you know, when Jabez was praying to the Lord here, but you look at what Paul, Paul says to the Lord, it goes deeper because Paul is living in the age of grace and he knows the mystery and Jabez did not. And so, and praise God, we know those same things today. We have that same opportunity and that same, those same words and that same power, that the power of love and grace that Christ has given to us freely. We are already blessed with all those spiritual blessings, and there's nothing that's going to change that. So we have Paul's gospel, and it's that knowledge of Paul's gospel that passes our understanding, that passes man's understanding, that allows us to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love, which then conveys the riches of his glory, which then allows the Lord to do exceeding abundantly in all that we ask or think, right? The last thing I'll just mention here is that Jabez, he, even though his name was literally sorrow, Jabez, according to, it's not in the Bible, but in the Jewish history books, Jabez actually ended up becoming a very well-known lawyer in his town, and they actually named a city after him called Jabez, and that's what the Lord ended up doing in Jabez's life and blessed him beyond measure, right? And then we look at Paul, and, you know, I don't think Paul got a city named after him, but, you know, Paul was blessed with this knowledge of the mystery of Christ and being able to write these letters to us, right? And so there's just no comparison to the riches that we get from Paul's gospel and this bridal message. So that is what the Lord had for me to give you guys tonight. And so that's all I got. We'll pray real quick to conclude, and then I think my dad's going to come up here. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for your words, and thank you for Paul's gospel, Lord. And just thank you for your love, and thank you for your grace, and thank you for the trials and tribulations that you give us in our lives, because we know that those are our glory. And those are for us to strengthen our faith in you, Lord. And without those trials and tribulations, we wouldn't be able to run to win your best. And we thank you for those, Lord. And thank you again for this time together. And just ask that you bless this evening in Jesus' name.